Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The all-new Bernstein and Holmes Show. Middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein.
You still got a legitimate backup in McCowan.
McCown! It's not McCowan!
McCowan.
No!
Lawrence Holmes.
So the goal wasn't to get better this offseason? Then don't complain at the end of the season like your ass did last year, when the front office actually did try to make your team better.
That is going to be a powerhouse show with Bernstein and Lawrence together.
It's a great move for the station.
Parkins had texted me yesterday. He goes, how long has it been since you've had a radio partner? It's been 13 years.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, powerhouse pairing, 10 to 2 every day.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What say we do this?
How about it?
How about it? I feel good.
Oh, me too. I enjoy the dead prez as the opener. Very well done, boys. Gets me in the right frame of mind. Do some work.
Right.
Between now and 2 o'clock.
I am very excited for this, and I know it's anecdotal, but so many people whose opinions that I trust, a lot of people whose opinions I don't care about,
well,
one way or the other, a lot of those, but there's a lot of people whose opinions do matter to me, on the record, off the record, friends, family, Romans, countrymen, you name it. There are a lot of people really excited about this.
Would you like to share the text that your son sent?
Just now?
Yes.
Don't F this up?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the sentiment.
Yeah. You know, that's what happens when you're out of school and when you don't have baseball till tomorrow and you slept on the couch because you were over at your friend's house playing NBA 2K until 4 in the morning and then sort of got home and fell asleep there. And then you wake up with that your first thought.
Couch sleep, man.
Is it? I can't even imagine.
Good couch sleep. I love like West Coast baseball.
I like a Saturday random PGA tournament. And it's some dude who's the leaderboard sucks, and it's like you're watching because Harold Varner just made a shot, and you're like rooting for him, and they're like, and then you're out, and an hour later the sun's half down, and you're like, all right. I think it's time for a glass of wine.
It's quality. Quality. Yep. When you're like, oh, and the Mariners have just gone up by 5. And you're like, oh, it's Friday night, and it's like 11:30. Or bad Mountain West football.
Ooh. Like, you need a strong stomach for some of that stuff, and it's like weird offense.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Let's go to Logan, Utah, and check out what Utah State's up to.
Here's a quarterback with a weird motion where he pulls it all the way behind his ear and then slings it three quarters somewhere.
And then you wake up, you're like, oh, that game is still on? Oh, no, now I've drifted into some terrible Pac-12 football game. Why are we now at Corvallis? I don't want to be in Corvallis. Get us out of Corvallis.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, an extra hour of sleep is like 3, man. It really is. It is. That is. I'm going to... And because it's Juneteenth and like I got to get used to the drive in and
yes.
Timing everything out because it's a federal holiday. So this and the garage layout where everybody's parked doesn't necessarily mean anything today.
You didn't run into any F-250s today in the.
Don't get me started. We had the drive out to DeKalb this weekend and in and around DeKalb, and we're on these two-lane roads.
Yeah.
And we're, the thing coming at you is a pickup truck with the angriest mirrors you've ever seen. Mirrors that look like they want to take your face off.
They do.
I mean, it's so scary. Like, dude, who needs that? This is my car. I drive this big car.
I do wonder, like, what's it like to drive that
Trevor,
now?
Travis, and I have a big car.
Like, what? How much does it cost you now to drive that car? And parking it in these lots? Come on, right? And my issue is, if this is your mode of transportation, it's your mode of transportation. That's fine. But there are spaces, like bigger spaces in the garage where you can put it instead of in the small car only space.
Take your wife's car.
Well, maybe take your wife's car. I don't know why you're assuming that the wife has a smaller car, but that might be the wife's car.
Because the wife doesn't feel like she has to advertise her masculinity to the world through her car.
That's probably more true than not.
That's why. It isn't some sort of manifest insecurity.
But she might also have a job that she has to go to, Dan. Yeah, it's 2022.
That's true.
And she might have to go to her job.
Take your kid's car.
Or
take a divvy bike.
Divvy bikes are heavy and...
Yeah, I know.
They're hard to maneuver. And when I see people trying to enjoy our the City Beautiful on those, my first thing is, man, that bike is heavy. How far are you going to go and how much work are you going to have to put into rolling a divvy bike?
You got to make them heavy because otherwise someone's going to steal them. Are the scooters done, by the way? Is the scooter experiment over?
I don't know.
Are we done with those? Yeah, we're done? Okay, good.
They're out?
That was terrible. Those things used to be lying around in the middle of the street, middle of the sidewalk, piles of them.
Actually, they are still a thing. They are. Thumbs down to them being done.
Oh, thank you, Ray.
Yes, they're a thing.
Thumbs down to them, though.
I think what Ray's saying is that he doesn't like them.
Yeah, it's cluttery. It's a mess.
Yeah, and you hear what's going on in Rome? What? People are getting pancaked right and left. Ooh, there's a Fiat. Oops, I'm dead. If you've ever walked around Rome, it is hard enough to not die.
Not all of us can relate to walking around Rome.
Around those streets, it is like leap of faith, man. You just walk and you hope the cars stop.
Studs,
they ain't
Ray,
stopping for you.
Pay attention. How many of you, show of hands, have walked around Rome?
Not me.
All right. Well,
I don't see Ray with his hand up. I don't see Studs with his hand up, and I don't have my hand up. Therefore,
you can all go screw yourselves and consider yourselves warned,
Mr. Relatable Dan Bernstein.
That didn't take long. Ian Happ is going to join us in a couple of minutes. We are going to talk to Greg Olson, Danny Mendick at 1:00, James Fegan shortly thereafter. We've got White Sox and Cubs and an entire weekend of sports to which to react. 312-644-6767 is the score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. As we broadcast live from the Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have email. And I don't even think we got that all set up yet, so screw it.
It's whatever.
Wherever that
you
goes,
guys will end up finding us, and you'll send us emails if you want. Well, hello to everyone on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. We appreciate that. Everyone who's listening on the Odyssey app, everyone who's listening on WBMX HD2.
Collared shirt. This must be a big day.
Yeah,
the
I decided
queen
not
must
to.
Be visiting collared shirt.
Is this going to be the last collared shirt that you have on for a while? Or are you going to wear the same shirt tomorrow?
It depends what's clean, is the honest answer. And it depends how dark it is when I'm fumbling around on the bench at the end of the bed to find my clothes.
Why is it so dark at your house in the morning?
Because I'm not the only one in the bed. And we have like these blackout
shades. I was going to ask. It's blackout shades.
It's dark. Yeah. Well, she pulls them and then like props them up with pillows and stuff. So
Because sometimes like you pull them and then there's that little sliver of light. And that little sliver of light is enough to drive someone mad.
It's like those weird Pete Sampras stories. You ever heard those?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's like apparently his pre-match naps that involve he hired somebody who would come into his hotel room. And like be the darkness
coordinator
minister. Yes. We'd have to come in there and be the army of darkness who would come in there, like make sure that everything would put towels underneath doors.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. Like it had to be blacked out, like sensory deprivation, William Hurt altered state stuff. So, yeah, weirdo. That's basically what I'm saying is weirdo.
I think I get it. Like, I get it, because there's nothing more annoying than that. And this time of year specifically, where you're like, why are birds chirping at 3:45 in the morning?
Yeah, those damn Cardinals, man. They're so loud.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
They're so loud.
The darkness coordinator?
It was something like
that.
What
you said?
Yeah, I don't know what they even know. But he had, like, an assistant who would help him make sure all of his room or his suite or whatever was as absolutely dark as possible.
I love ball.
No.
That's Dr. Death.
Oh, okay. No.
That's different.
That level of darkness shall never be spoken of again.
God.
Those were dark days.
Ian Happ is going to talk a little Cubs baseball and golf with us next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Ian Happ now.
Ian Happ. Outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
Happ leaps and makes the catch along the indentation of the wall.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
I did not sleep last night. If I go over there and ask you to turn it down, and you don't turn it down,
you're going to see angry Ian too. That's not good.
I'll start breaking down doors.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Get out the tape measure, long gone. One of the longest home runs Happ has ever hit to right field in this ballpark, bar none.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
I like the sound of that. Ian Happ is on Twitter at ihap_1. And the Cubs outfielder joins us on The Score hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Ian, welcome to our new program with old people. How are you?
Congratulations, guys. I hear I am the first guest.
Yeah, you're the first guest, Ian. We appreciate it so much that you are still sticking by. How's the coffee roasting business going?
It's fantastic. We are exploring a bunch of new possibilities right now that I can't quite get into, but a lot of cool stuff on the horizon. We just did Robbie Gould's golf outing at Medina, which is pretty cool. He was around hanging out, having the coffee. So a lot of cool things in the works.
What was it like to live through this experience of this losing streak?
I mean, all losing streaks are pretty horrible. I mean, once you get past a couple of days, it's tough. I mean, those things happen throughout the course of a season. I mean, you're always going to go through tough stretches. Even the great groups that we had that were playoff, you know, teams, we had stretches like that. You had stretches where it felt like everything was going wrong. And you just try to use it as a learning experience. I think it was a pretty cool moment for us to get a win on Friday, kind of snapping the Braves streak, snapping our streak. But the crowd at Wrigley, how they kind of rose to the occasion in a close game, and they've been so supportive the whole way through, I think that's pretty special.
You know, Cubs fans have been lampooned for years about being there for the experience and the tourists and the buses from Iowa and any number of pejorative descriptions of Cub fans. But what I've noticed is once they're there, they're into it. And as much as we want to talk about nobody pays attention to a game anymore, it's hard for the kids to follow along and the games take too long, I will say that even as this is going on, however they're getting there and for whatever reason is bringing them out there, they're into these games. Like they know who's what and what the situations are. And I don't know if there are a lot of teams that have a record like the Cubs have right now that have that kind of engagement.
No, it's the best. It's the best in the world, and the fans at Wrigley have such an understanding of what's happening in the game, of situation, of players getting called up or something meaningful happening to a player, and it's so appreciated by the coaches and the players. I cannot tell you the fact that we're going through something very difficult, and in we score a run in the eighth inning to go up 1-0, and the place goes crazy, and there's 40,000 people there on Saturday and Sunday. Like, that, those things are so important to the players. It makes us the best place to play in the world, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
How do you balance? Because baseball players love routine. How do you balance the routine of, well, these are the things that help me get to the major leagues, versus changing maybe some things that might be the reason that you're on a losing streak?
I mean, routine for individual players is so important. I think as routines change over the season, over the course of the year or years, I think kind of those adjustments are made. And once you have a routine for yourself that you know gets you ready for the game, I think those, you know, those things you stick to, you believe in. And over the course of 162, whatever you do to give yourself that confidence to go and compete every day is the most important. As far as the team, you know, aspect, I think our guys do such a good job of showing up and putting in the work to do, you know, to play this game, to do the right things. And that's half the battle. And I can tell you, it's not, there's nothing out there that's a lack of effort or guys not playing as hard as they can. You know, the guys are going out there, putting in their work every day. And that is kind of the most important part.
You had a pretty satisfying looking opposite field single when you were batting on the left side. And it seems like you are earning the attention of defenses in a way that is where they're checking their cards and they know where the spray chart is. Have you notice that? Does it, when you see defenses move to accommodate your likelihoods, does it change anything you do?
No, it doesn't. It can't, I don't think. I think when you're, you know, it's so hard to steer the baseball as it is, but I think there's definitely times in my career early on where, when I was starting to be shifted, where I would let that, you know, impact the way that I went about the at bat, as opposed to just, if I do everything right, the ball should be in the air anyway and probably in a gap. So, you know, if you do everything right, the ball shouldn't be caught. And if it is caught, then you just roll it back the next at bat. And, you know, I'll take my chances or play the odds over the course of the whole season. I think when I was younger in my career and I was really concerned about if I was going to start the next day and getting hits to be in the lineup the next day, some of those things kind of weighed on me more. But I have noticed that, you know, with two strikes, usually they'll go into more of a shifted guy in the outfield. Before that, they'll kind of stay a little bit more straight up. So, yeah, it's something that I'm aware of, but not changing my approach because of it.
Ian, what's it like to be teammates with Wilson Contreras? And let me explain. I love him. Like, I love that he is emotional and an emotional player in every context of that word. Seeing him in Atlanta with his brother and then seeing him this weekend here with his brother, what's that like for you as his teammate? And what's it like to be teammates with a guy that is that emotionally wired?
I mean, just as a friend, knowing him for as long as I have, to see him be able to play against his brother, and watch those two guys on the field is so cool. That's, he cares so much about his family. He's been through so much to get to this point in his career and in his life, and mentored his little brother so much that to be able to kind of see that come to fruition is really, really cool. You know, and he does, he plays with his heart on his sleeves. He plays from a place of all of the things that have happened to him, and he's gone through it in his life, and he projects that onto the field, and it motivates him and drives him. And sometimes his best at bats that he gives start with some kind of emotional charge that he gives himself. That's the way that he plays the game, and he's been a super successful player doing it. It's always funny because we are such different players, him and I, and it's great to watch what he brings. And you know, we've been together for a long time, and I've gotten to watch him play a ton of baseball, and it's so impressive what he's able to do every day, how many games he's able to catch behind the plate, play all the time. He always wants to be in there in such a taxing position. It's really cool.
I know you're close with Anthony Rizzo too, and you've been very open about how important Anthony has been in your development when you were younger and coming up. There have been perfectly public little dust-ups between Contreras and Rizzo every once in a while. Is that fraternal kind of stuff, or is that what you're talking about with just difference in styles sometimes depending on the tension of a dugout on a given day? Just, you would have some unique insight into what that relationship was.
Yeah, I mean, those are two guys that are really care, and I think, you know, that it's like when you are with someone or a group of guys, it was 5 years, 6 years, 200 plus days a year. It's like being brothers. You know, you have your times where something happens or your brother gets on your nerves, and you know, those things end up being public when you're in a baseball setting. But those guys, they cared about each other. They were great teammates. They loved each other. They won a world championship together, won plenty of playoff games together. Like, it was just, you go through those phases where, when especially those teams that we had, where you wanted so bad to follow up on the success and to keep being successful, and that pressure and that buildup of, all right, what little thing is wrong, searching for that little thing that's not going right, to try to get back to where, you know, they were in 16, where we were in 17. And just, there was a lot of trying to get back to that.
When you're on the road, what's your approach to the cities that you go to? Because I think that you guys are in for the National League, it's my favorite National League city to watch you guys play is in Pittsburgh. I think there's a lot of cool stuff.
That's his hometown too.
I know, yeah. But when you're on the road, how do you go about exploring? Is there even time for you to do it?
Not that much, but I do try to get out, try to walk around. You know, my big thing is going to coffee shops, trying to find a coffee shop. I actually just walked one right before this, and it was closed today on this Monday, which was a little bit of a toughie. Had to go find another one, but that's kind of my routine, you know. And then once you've, especially the cities in division that we've been to so much over the years, I kind of have my spots. Go pick up a coffee. Pittsburgh is near and dear to me, obviously, because I grew up here. I got family. My mom's going to be in town for this series with my grandmother, so that'll be great. And going to go back and see. My high school actually won their, I guess you would call it their regional championship. So I'm going to go back and see high school coach and do some of those things. So it's always a good time for me to come back to Pittsburgh.
Is there something that you would consider to be a touristy thing in Pittsburgh that everyone should do? So like, I'll give you an example.
I got mine.
In Chicago, I feel that everyone should do the architectural tour.
I would say Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh.
That would be my choice too, but I wanted to hear what Ian thought about this, since he's from there, Dan.
Yeah, Warhol Museum's a good one. I think I would say go ride the incline and get up to the top of Mount Washington. You know, go look at the city from up there. And there is, like, the incline doesn't take that much time, but it's like a really cool piece of Pittsburgh history. And when you get up to the top of Mount Washington, there's kind of like a little museum up there too, to tell you all about it. So I would hit the incline first.
All right. Before we let you go, yesterday was a fascinating day in baseball with, I think, three different players either getting their first major league hit or first major league home run. And then we have all of this silly, selfish negotiation that fans can't just give a guy the ball. Where are your milestone baseballs, and is there any good story behind any of them?
My first home run went to my mother. Most of my milestone home runs are at my around my mom's house because, like, a lot of them were in my first year. 20 home runs in my first year was a really big one because I was the fastest Cub ever to 20. That one meant a ton to me. That one's still at my mom's place. I have some of the bats from that year, first Grand Slam. And then I hit a really, really cool one. I hit on Father's Day, my first Father's Day game. I hit a home run in Pittsburgh, right-handed into the bullpen. And I gave that ball to Frank Palladino, who was like a second father to me, coach when I was growing up, Pittsburgh guy. So I was able to give that one to him right after the game in Pittsburgh. That was really, really special.
That's dope. That's really dope. Well, Ian, thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. Good luck in Pittsburgh.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
That is Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. And it's time when we have him on now to start looking at all-star voting. Because, you know, I know he doesn't like to talk about it, and I get it. I totally understand it. We did bring it up, and he just but this is something, you know, something to start watching here, some of these possibilities. I know it's hard when the team's not winning to get multiple all-stars. We know that Wilson Contreras is going to be there. So we'll see. He's having a heck of a year.
I would like to keep talking Cubs, Dan. And the reason why is that over the last week or so, we haven't had a chance to really get into the Cubs overall. Like, the White Sox have been kind of the story because of expectations. But I want to see if I'm right about something. And it's something that I heard this morning with Mully and Haw talking with Jed, and he had talked about it a little bit in his press conference last week. I think there's a trust issue. We have time to do it now, or should I wait? All right. So we're going to come back, and when we come back, let's talk about Jed Hoyer, Cubs fans, and a trust gap that he needs to fill. We will do that next on Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We're not able to lay in the basket like Theo does in the outfield. I saw that photo. I laughed out loud. I said to our executive producer, is that allowed? I mean, is Theo, we know he can walk on water. Did he levitate there? How did he pull that off?
Yeah, no. Yeah, he's moving. He's moving east. And so he had a little bit of a going away. I saw him on Thursday night, and obviously he did the bleachers on Friday and enjoyed it. And, you know, I guess when you come in here and deliver a world championship, you can lay in the basket. I think he's earned it, and it was great to see him having a good time. At one point, I think in the eighth inning, he was texting trying to get me to go out there. I'm like, Theo, it's a tie game in the eighth.
Yeah, that's probably not gonna work, but it was fun to see Theo out there having fun. And I mean, his place was footsteps away from the ballpark. Right. So I'm sure he had a wonderful time and then brought that wonderful time to Wrigley Field. That was this morning on Mully and Haw's show. Really good interview that they did with Jed Hoyer. I suggest that everyone listen to the entire thing on the Odyssey app. I've been thinking a lot about this, Dan, over the last few days. And I haven't had enough show over the last few days because there were short shows leading into the game to talk about this. And I want to see if I got this right. This is what I feel like I'm seeing from Cubs fans, that there's a trust issue with Jed Hoyer. And I think that's part of the reason that even though you could look at the roster with this team, a lot of Cubs fans are like, they shouldn't be this bad at this point. There was conversation about this particular topic this morning with Mully and Haw. Take a listen to how Jed answered the question about people maybe being a little bit more annoyed at seeing the Cubs be back in this position of rebuilding.
I think, first of all, I would say that I do think there was probably a little bit more skepticism than we admit now. You know, I mean, I remember the back page of the Sun-Times after the end of the season in 2012 was Theo drowning. You know, so, you know, I do think that we have some revisionist history when it comes to exactly how we felt about the plan. And there was a lot of skepticism about exactly what we were trying to do. And then I think obviously that went away. So I think that's part of it. I do think that sometimes it's hard to remember back exactly how we felt at that time. So that's number one. Number two is, I think you touched on it. I do think that, you know, one of the proudest things that, you know, one of the things I look back with the most pride on that we accomplished was, I do think, we changed the expectations of this fan base. You know, when Theo arrived and I came with him with Jason, I look back and, you know, I think the team had made the playoffs, like, you know, it was like an average of once every 13 years, you know, going back to, I think, 1945, you know. And I think that was the fewest, you know, playoff appearances in baseball. And so at that point, you know, sort of it was easier, I think, to, as you said, sell hope, because I think there was what people had experienced here before had not worked. And there was a willingness, given, you know, Theo's track record, to buy in and say, okay, like, well, what we've done hasn't worked. Let's try something else. I think people have had the taste of what it's like to be a great team for a pretty long stretch. And I understand that, you know, there's a real frustration with not being that right now. And so I do think that taste of success, I think that the raising of expectations, I think that has changed the way people look at it. And I understand that. And I, in some ways, I'm kind of proud of it, because I think we created that, which is terrific, but we have to live with the results of that too.
I think that he's right in that there is a raising of expectation. I think the part that he hasn't put into there is what I'm asserting, which is people don't know him. Think about it, Dan. The whole time that Jed was in the background, there were two really dominant Cubs people. You had Theo and you had Joe. And you kind of knew what you were getting with both of those guys.
It's so much bigger than that, though. It's so what he's going through as president of baseball operations is so much bigger than that. Because truthfully, Theo got to have his baseball is better welcoming speech, the whole courtship, everything. But where Cubs fans are now is a world away. Because even after Dusty and Lou and all of that, Cubs fans were still naive. Cubs fans were still hooray baseball. And what we have now is a massive real estate entertainment business taking up an enormous actual city block footprint that is asking a great deal of money for everything that goes on in and around that area with that sports book. I mean, the infrastructure, the beams are up for the sports book, by the way. That thing is being built. And there were a couple of watershed moments here that have completely changed the calculus of all of this when it comes to trust. Tom Ricketts standing there and saying, what do you have against the marquee network? And not really getting it, not being prepared for what that was to the essence of the hearts of Cubs.
How much of a diametric change that was to Cubs baseball,
yes,
writ large.
The connection with Sinclair and some of that, and the Ricketts family email dump and what that did. I know it's a long time ago, but people felt that. That is still reverberating in the relationship that one has with the team and what one represents. Then you got the pandemic. Then you get biblical losses. Then you get the Darvish trade.
You get them chasing Chelsea.
I think that so much of the conversation moved into a completely different mental place, that to go back to those times when Theo and walking on water or drowning in water, like, that was just like baseball stuff. And if you look at what has happened, like you say, writ large, it's hard to go back to even compare those times.
But that's what I mean, where with Theo, you knew that there was a track record of him in the other place. And it's fair to say that Jed has that track record too, because they were together. But now that he's the guy, and you already as a Cub fan have some issues of trust with ownership, whether your feelings about them are soured because you disagree with where they're at politically, or you're just looking at this as a baseball fan and going, the Cubs should never be in this situation. They should never be down like this, where you're looking at a season where they're going to maybe lose 100 games.
The word you use, trust, the idea of a public trust, the idea of a you own my team and you can do whatever you want with my team, but it is the idea of a fan being in some respects understood and appreciated as a as an owner in that regard, that there is an idea where if I own this, I owe you something in whatever your family's history is, whatever it means to you. And I can't tell you what it means to you. But when you, if Jed is the focal point of what constitutes that even kind of baseball trust, you know, heavy lies ahead that wears the crown right now.
That's kind of where I'm going with this. Jed is the dude, like, we know him, but we don't know him.
And how well do we really know Theo?
But you at least had Theo's track record that even if you didn't know him, you kind of knew that you could take him at his word. This was going to be successful because of the history that he had. With Jed, there isn't that. He doesn't get to start from that place, even though he was part of the winning, because now he's not the guy that makes suggestions. He's the guy that makes decisions.
Not to mention the imagery of how he gets the job with Theo like,
hey, I'm out.
Jed,
good luck.
Here are the Cubs.
Fam, good luck.
I'm going to go lie down in the basket and have a couple of beers.
I'm going to have a whole bunch of beers and enjoy just being around baseball. So when, if Jed talks about patience, and he did that throughout his press conference and talking with Mully and Haw, I think the reflexive reaction from Cubs fans is, I don't know you. Like, I don't know you, fam. Like, I kind of know you, but I don't know you. So I can't sit here and just go, everything's going to be okay, because I don't know as a Cub fan if I can trust, one, that Jed has the right plan, and two, if Jed has the right plan, is he going to be given the resources that he needs to make the plan work?
Yeah, I'm not sure he knows, because the same group that told him, sell you Darvish right now for whatever you can.
Magic beans.
You never know when he's going to open an email or get a text, and the next thing is something like that. He doesn't know. So it must be hard to reassure when I imagine someone in his position himself could be looking for reassurance.
Do you think that they thought it would be this bad this quickly?
They meaning?
The baseball side of the Cubs. Do you think they looked at this particular roster and was like, ooh, this might be a 100-loss roster?
This year?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not 100, but I think that they knew they were going to be sellers at the deadline.
It's going to be interesting to see how all of it plays and what you're willing to spend. And if their flirtations with some of the best players in the league, if that's going to continue into the offseason. Like the Cubs should be spending this offseason. And if they don't, it makes me go, what is the plan and what is it that you're trying to get done?
If you like baseball talk and you're a White Sox fan, you're going to want to keep it here on Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.